coast to coast.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified internist.
God bless you.
And addiction medicine specialist. Tonight, our guest is Bill Dwyer. Bill is the guy from BattleBots.
Yeah.
This is
ugly guy now this season.
One of my favorite shows. Yeah, he's they got rid of Sean Salisbury, who used to ex-NFLer, who used to be up there with Bill. And they got Tim Green, who's also an ex-NFLer. This guy was, I think it was a lineman for Atlanta. And he wrote a sort of tell-all book about 10 years ago.
The Dark Side of the Game.
Hmm. Yeah, talked about what? Needles.
Yeah, and, you know, guys taking whatever, steroids and painkillers and that's. He's a bright guy. He's a lawyer.
He's the kind of guy you just hate because he's really like if Howie Long had a dark-haired brother, that's who this guy would be. He's a guy you hate because as a guy, you're always looking for an angle that makes you better than another guy who could, say, kick your ass.
In some capacity, you got to be better.
Well, here's what you want as a guy. If there's a guy who's smarter than you, you'd like to say you could kick his ass.
Right.
If there's a guy who could kick your ass, you'd like to say you're smarter than he is. This guy's, what, 6'5", chiseled,
yeah,
great looking, and an attorney.
And nice. He's a nice guy. He's, like, gentle. You know what, though? He's not funny.
That's right.
He admires that in me. He's like, oh man, you're funny, aren't you?
Yeah, don't you feel though? I mean, like I did.
Like he cares about being funny.
When we did the home team, we did the Terry Bradshaw show. I mean, I grew up watching Terry Bradshaw win four Super Bowls. You know, and you know, at the end of the thing, he sort of slapped his huge mitt on my back and said, "You're funny, Adam." And I thought, that's nice, but it's a little consolation from taking home those four Super Bowl rings.
And that's a big mitt, isn't it? I mean, he's got a hand.
Yeah.
Because he used to put the finger on the end of the, on the points of the ball when
he
threw it. Yeah.
Yeah. He, Bradshaw, I mean, it was like out of a movie where you the giant is amused and he whacks you on the back and you go flying off your stool.
You're funny.
Yeah.
And then he gets angry. They always flip.
Or worse, amorous, where the heart bubbles start coming out of his head and he starts chasing you around. But he is a huge, huge guy. But anyway, I say this once in a while when a band comes on here or a comedian comes on here. I love BattleBots, do I not?
Yeah, he waxed, you heard him, he waxed for 10 minutes before the mics heated up.
And your favorite robot is?
Ziggo.
He loves the Ziggo.
Ziggo is...
He loves the lightweight spinner.
What now? What is the weight divisions? You go light,
middleweight, heavyweight, super heavy. Yeah.
Is light up to like 50 or 45 or something like
I think
that?
It's, I think it's 50 or 55, and then it goes up to 125 for middleweight. Heavyweights go up to 225, and then your supers.
And the supers are...
Up to 350. I think up to 350 or 325.
And Drew, I went and did BattleBots this year. Jimmy and I did like a little exhibition thing, and it's hairy. I mean, this is not so much Hollywood magic, you know, with smoke and mirrors.
Right.
These things have, you know, lawnmower engines on them and big tungsten blades flying everywhere. I mean, some of these bots are 10,000.
You got to watch, Drew. You got to check it out.
Oh, I watch it.
$10,000 some people are
spending
on
these? Easy, yeah, some of them, yeah. And then some of them are, you know, $1,000 or $700, and they're sweet, too.
I saw one there. They looked like a giant vacuum cleaner. It was sort of marching into things.
Oh, that was... Maybe that was Tazbot. That's my favorite robot.
Yeah, I like Tazbot.
Did he have like an insect head? Did he have like a spinning insect head? Yeah, I love that guy.
The great thing is the pageantry involved with the games too, because I love it when the guys are out there accepting their awards and the guy's wearing gym socks. He has one dress sock, one gym sock. He's wearing a pair of OP shorts circa 1982.
A borrowed sport coat.
And a borrowed sport coat. Yeah.
These are the guys
flopping over.
They're focused. They're not thinking about what they're wearing. But you noticed the uniforms in the pits, didn't you?
A
lot of teams go with uniforms
I've
now.
I've seen more jumpsuits and more female escorts heading out there with the guys.
These are the guys you fly a plane with, right?
These guys, I don't know. I fly model airplanes, and it's hard to tell whether these guys would be a cut above or a cut below the guys I see down at the Van Nuys flying field on a Tuesday at noon.
Well, those are all made for models, aren't they? Model airplanes? Those are, so, a little different, you know?
Yeah, there's probably more fabrication going on in the BattleBot world.
So, BattleBot guys, same guys, more money, more education.
Yeah, these guys are, a lot of them are engineers.
Maybe not more. Yeah, there's some engineers, but there's also, like, mechanics and stuff. Yeah. You know, it's just guys who know what's going on inside something.
I went down to the paddock this year, and it's a huge open area. It used to be
the pits.
It used to be a pit. It used to be a hangar of some kind or something.
It's a military base.
They filmed the whole thing on, is it Treasure Island?
Yeah.
Have you ever been there, Drew?
Treasure Island.
In San Francisco.
Right off the Golden Gate Bridge.
No, never been there.
You take... Is that the Golden Gate?
Isn't it?
No, I don't think that's the Golden Gate.
The blue one. The Bay
it's
Bridge.
The other one. Bay Bridge.
You take the Bay Bridge, and you can turn off onto this island, and all of a sudden you're back in the 1940s, and there was a military base there.
It's man-made.
Huh.
And the whole place is cleared out, and they put on the BattleBots event there, and it is massive.
Crazy. Oh, it was so great this year. It's so great.
Tuesday nights, 10 o'clock, my beloved Comedy Central. And Bill, and what about...
And then a number of reruns after that, you know, because it's Comedy Central.
Anything, but listen, this is the kind of show, it's not like a sitcom. You can watch this over and over again. It's like watching Evel Knievel crash in slow motion for the fifth time. You're not going to get up and leave. So, and Bill, what about you? Stand-up comedy, acting, anything?
Plug? I'm a stand-up comic. I got a Comedy Central Presents, a half-hour comedy special coming up on September 10th.
All right, so we can look forward to that.
That is Monday, September 10th, also at 10 o'clock. And that was sweet. That's another great thing. Man, they did that right. Hudson Theater, New York, just packed, you know, people, lines going down both sides of the block, and just a great audience and a great venue, and, you know, it was just a magical night, you know.
And that'll
sound like a real puss.
September 10th. Right. All right. 10 o'clock, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. That is the half hour.
I'm not good at plugging, but that's a good thing to plug.
Well,
I'm good at plugging.
I'll plug for you as the night goes on. Brittany?
Yeah?
You're 18?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
I've been with my boyfriend about 8 months now, and he's been pressuring me to have anal sex. I don't really know a lot about it. I'm just wondering if there's any precautions or anything that can happen that I don't know about.
Well, it's important to have a wooden spoon to bite on.
what do you know about it?
Well, I've never wanted to do it. I've never really been into it, but I've been with him 8 months.
Why do it?
Because we've been together so long.
What, sex is no longer good? You have to sort of up the ante a little bit?
No, it's good, but then I hear some girls enjoy it too, so I don't know if I'll be...
Yeah, she may enjoy it.
Can't you warm up with something? Again, I'm such a rube. But can't you, you know...
In some sort of graduated...
Do you have to, can you put a finger in there and...
cigar tube or something. Well, for me, cigar tube's no warm-up. You've now gone past. It's time to step down to the penis. You've had the chapstick. Now you're getting ace. It's time to relax. Okay.
I don't know. I've heard that gay men, like, by the time they're 40, they have to wear diapers because everything's just coming out.
Well, that's more of a fashion statement than it is a biological event.
There can be rips and tears and problems with the sphincter tone after all this. Yeah, there could be.
If you do it just once,
it's not likely.
And sphincter tone?
And it's a great... That's a band.
I was in high school.
Yeah, it's your band.
And letting the sphincter tones have played with.
And,
how do you tell on your sphincter?
It is a great way to contract a sexually transmitted disease.
Okay.
And should we using condoms if we're going to do this?
Yeah. All right.
There you
but
go.
Put it off.
Well,
if you don't want to.
Yeah, if you don't want to do it, why are you getting involved?
That's just
with
something
this?
That guys want to do, isn't it?
Guys just need to check it off their list.
Yeah, I really don't
want to
do it, but.
Then don't do it. He's
gymnast.
Just, yeah.
Right.
Is he kind of an aggressive guy?
Well, we're reaching the point where our sex is getting kind of boring and we want to do new stuff.
Wow.
18, wait a minute. 8 months. Wait a minute. I would evaluate that if I were you.
Yeah.
I mean, you're 18 years old, you've been with him 8 months, and already the sex is boring for you?
Yeah.
Are you actually into this guy?
Yeah. We plan on getting married soon.
What? Sex is boring at 18? How do you think it's going to be at 48?
Yeah. You should wait.
I'm the second girl he's been with, so he's not... I'm more into girls, too, and he's not really into doing that, so...
No. I want to ask the Bible questions.
This is going to last forever, this one.
Yeah, really? And you guys are talking marriage?
Yeah.
What are you hiding out from? What's going on at home?
Maybe just getting away from home.
Yeah, what's going on at home?
My parents are going through divorce. I live with my dad. He can be abusive. My mom was abusive.
No, there you go.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so you're going to rush into marriage and recreate all that love that you had in your family home.
Yeah.
Why don't you, I'm being facetious, Brittany. Why don't you look into some therapy and get some, treatment and start make some more mature choices about what you want to do with the rest of your life.
Yeah.
All right?
Okay.
All right. Good times there, baby. Yeah, don't get married. Don't get pregnant.
Yeah.
Well, she's going to be using the anal.
Oh, yeah, well, if you use the anal round, don't worry about
that. I really
don't
think I can get pregnant because, I mean, we haven't been using a condom for a long, long, long time.
Well, you will. Well, you will be.
Really?
I guarantee.
Even if you don't have your periods regular?
Guaranteed.
Really?
Guaranteed.
Okay.
This is the situation where pregnancy is a guarantee.
Yeah.
It is, right.
We should devote this whole show to Brittany. She hasn't got a clue.
Yeah. And maybe the first hour of tomorrow's show as well. Oh, my God. All right. Well, listen, you'd be better off talking to some of the battle bots. Yeah. I've had more stimulating conversations with Ziggo. And Vlad the Impaler.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Mark?
Yeah.
You're 18. What's up? 17.
Listen, I got a problem.
Yeah.
All right.
You're in a sewer?
Nah.
Okay.
It's like I have like some weird thing going on in my scrotum.
Right.
It feels like, I don't know, like when it's coming out of my testicles or something. It feels like all veiny and spongy.
People can get varicose veins in there, clusters of veins. They almost feel like clusters of grapes in there.
Like is that what it feels like?
Like worms, hanging around in there.
Yeah.
Really?
It's bad.
What can I do about that?
Nothing.
Stop feeling your testicles.
Have a doctor check it, make sure it's that. It could be, there are other things that can swell up and be spongy in there, but none of which are dangerous, but some of which need treatment.
Can I get it like removed or something like that?
Not the veins, not particularly, but some of the other things can be.
Well, so what is that?
It's just dilated veins.
All right, so
get my magazine.
No, I don't want to see it. No, no.
Can he drink more water or something? Can he?
Yeah, flush it out.
Yeah,
flush those balls out.
I got that
with some tap water.
give me the book.
All right,
what is it?
Drew's got a. I don't know where that book of yours is.
Where is it? Drew, you're good. That first caller when you said what's going on at home, man, you're good.
I know where the book is.
I want that book.
Hold on a second.
Are we going to see something crazy?
Here's the deal. This book is covered by cowbell and notebook and a box of pens and some duct tape. And instead of trying to, gingerly pull everything off and do it discreetly, I'm just going to yank the thing once, all right?
Thank you.
But at least we're calling a spade a spade.
Explaining what's going on. It's good radio.
Yeah, it's great radio.
Oh, it's not so bad.
Drew does more visual references on this radio show than any radio show.
This will be helpful for me, though.
Yeah.
All right, I'm not going to screw anybody up, am I? I mean, no one's going to call me 20 years later and go,
I can't get erections because of you.
These veins in here sometimes get all dilated up.
He's pointing at a picture of
inside a testicle. It's got veins coming down the spermatic.
Got a lot of veins.
Yeah, a lot of veins in there.
It looks like
they swell up in some people just from pressure phenomenon.
What's this over here?
That's your vest friends probably, right? Epididymis.
All right. Scott?
Yeah.
What's up?
No, nothing much, man.
You're on with Bill Dwyer from BattleBots.
Hey.
Oh, my brother loves your show.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, I got a problem, and it's a small one. Not one too difficult to answer, I don't think, hopefully. Attractive women. They really, really get to me. I have a really hard time talking to them. I can deal with your average run-of-the-mill girls, your fat ones, your, just Sarah Plain and Talls, whatever. But for some reason, whenever it comes to talking to an attractive girl... I lose all thought.
Right.
I can't say anything to them. I mean, I can make idle conversation, but going more in depth with them, even going out on a first date, once I finally get past that asking them out type thing, going out with them, I'm out of conversation in like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And I know it's something.
Have you ever said that to them, that, geez, I'm intimidated by good-looking women?
No, because I've kind of been in denial.
Well, I think you would find some of them would be sort of...
No, it's an interesting angle, Drew, but as we know, it could only be pulled off by BS guys who aren't actually intimidated, who are just trying to get laid.
No, I think they could be sort of, think it's cute, I think it's sort of, it'd be sort of...
if it's honest.
Yeah.
If you're honest,
I mean, that you feel that they're so attractive that it stultifies you, I think that they'll be sort of...
But then where does that get you? Then she goes, oh, well, what? You're an idiot then. I don't want to talk to you. You know, exactly. Well, you can't talk to me.
Right. No. I just think being honest and being where you're at is your best.
Well, point. Look, we all know being honest is great if they're into you.
Yeah.
And if they're not into you, you're screwed.
But he's going out on a date. I mean, he's, you know.
All right. Mm-hmm. So tell them beauty confounds you and you're at a loss for words. But that doesn't get you out on a date.
Right. But he's able to get them out on the date. The problem is he gets tongue-tied when he's out, and they'll be flattered.
No, he's tongue-tied trying to get them out on the date, right?
Yeah.
Well, how did you get the good-looking ones out on the date if you were so tongue-tied?
And where are you talking to these good-looking ones?
Just everywhere I can meet them. Previously, it's usually been going to, like, bars and clubs and stuff, but I mean, I've really kind of cooled out on that.
But how anxious is this guy that he can walk up to somebody in a club and talk to them? Could you do that?
No.
Well,
I can now. Because,
but see, there's so many people out there that can. I see people hooking up at nightclubs all the time. You know, I see people walking in, you know, and you'll see the same people walking out.
There's a certain group in this world have to realize that's not them. That just is not you, Scott.
There's like 3% of the guys that are banging 95% of the women.
in that manner.
Yeah, do you know how they talk about how, you know, 2% of the United States citizens have, you know, 95% of the wealth, that kind of thing? It's the same thing with getting laid. We all knew that one guy in high school that nailed everybody, and then there was us. And my theory is we need to kill those guys because I look at Poontang as like provisions on a desert island, and this guy's hogging all the Snickers.
He's got the crowbar to open the box.
Right.
And
we're all trapped on this desert island, and he's eating everything and drinking all the... He's using up all the reserves. That's what I'm saying. I think we should get rid of these guys at the junior high school level.
Well, this guy's going to find his women somewhere else, too, at work or wherever. Yeah. You know? He's not going to find them at clubs. He's not a club guy.
He's not the club guy.
He's fine. He's 23. And by the way...
Who doesn't have a problem talking to beautiful women anyway?
23 especially.
Is there a person on the planet who will admit being into the club scene? Every single person you talk to, and I don't mean every single person. I mean every single unattached person you talk to, they go, well, I'm into dating, but I'm not into the club scene. I like one person just to be, because clubs are packed every weekend.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming somebody's got to be into the club scene. I just want to hear someone who's bold enough to admit they are very much heavily into the club scene.
They're not into the radio scene.
That's what it is. Casey?
Yeah.
You're 14?
Yeah.
You're a girl?
Yeah.
All right. What's up?
Okay, I have diabetes,
mm-hmm.
and I just started smoking. Can that, like, make it worse?
Yes, diabetes plus smoking is a recipe for heart disease, for sure.
Okay.
That is how you get heart disease.
But you're just a little too young to be smoking.
Also, it will harden the arteries of the brain. You'll get strokes, and it can also contribute to kidney disease. So you have a serious condition here. And I know at 14 you want to sort of ignore that you have diabetes, but you've got it. And adding tobacco to that is a recipe for serious medical problems in the next 10-20 years.
Okay. When you say recipe, it's not actually in a book or anything. It's a recipe.
If I were to write a recipe for disease,
not like gazpacho or something.
No, not next.
The frugal gourmet talks heart disease.
hey, you know what I'm curious about is
what do you smoke?
Yeah, what's your brand?
That's what you're curious
Marble
about?
Lights. No.
Ultralights. Oh,
no.
Okay.
No,
I would have guessed ultralights.
Here's what I wanted to ask. There's all this. When we grew up, there was not the anti-smoking campaign that's going on now. Sure, we saw, you know, at 4 in the morning, Yul Brynner came on and talked to us from the grave. Remember that one?
Man, that was weird.
That was a great one.
That was crazy.
You know, they ought to dust that one
off.
I'm
dead now. Yeah, but nobody knows who Yul Brynner is.
Right.
Do the kids know?
Well,
I mean, they should.
You know, you know what wouldn't work about Yul Brynner anyway? You'd be going, hey, you would have been dead anyway.
Yeah.
I know.
Do you know how much he smoked?
No.
He smoked 4 or 5 packs a day.
Well, it was great. Yul Brynner.
That's like 1 every 5 minutes.
Oh, Yul Brynner was the bald guy with the accent from The King and I.
Right.
And if you saw a picture of the guy, you would know who he was. He was a famous actor.
In Westworld,
yeah.
They used to do this great anti-smoking campaign where he came on and he'd go, hi, I'm dead.
Now, because I smoke.
You're
don't
watching,
you smoke?
You're,
yeah.
You're watching me now, but I'm dead. That must have been a great phone call to the agent.
Yeah.
Imagine that. It's like, hey, yeah, Herb Eatman? Yeah. You handle Yul Brynner, right? Yeah.
He's not doing much now, is he?
We'd like to do an interview with him. He's pretty much on his deathbed. That's my point.
Exactly. This is what I want to talk to you about.
Let me send over the copy.
Tell him to take a look at it. You can horse around with it a little bit.
Right, right. We'll give him room to play with it. Here's the deal, Yul. There's no doubt we're doing a PSA here, but I want you to have fun with it. Don't be scared to paraphrase. That must have been a great day in Yule's life. Where
yeah.
He was, like, looking at this copy, and the part says, like, announcers, dialogue, yeah. VO, Yul, I'm dead. By the time this film gets developed, I'll be scattered over
hey,
the ocean.
Hey, when's this going to air? Next week? We're going to start running the spots next week.
Yep. Soon as we can, we're going to rush it through post. See if we can get it on in time for sweeps, Yul.
Oh, my man.
God,
yeah.
I haven't even thought. Has anyone thought about that commercial in 20
years?
No,
but I think about that, and I remember thinking, oh, it doesn't look that bad. Mm. He's dead.
Right.
He doesn't look that bad. He looks like Yul Brynner. I'm dead now. Well, yeah. Well, that happens.
Yul was smart because he established a look early, and then he stuck with it.
Yeah.
All guys, if you go with, he wore like a Nehru jacket with no shirt on underneath it, and he shaved his head at 19, and he was constantly tan. So therefore, when he was 60, he looked exactly the same as he did when he was 30.
And he was built, too.
Yeah.
That guy was ripped.
Yul was a rock.
Yeah.
We should all smoke, get ourselves back in shape.
but not at 14. You're too young.
But here's what I
wanted, a little too young.
Here's what I wanted to ask. All the negative smoking campaigns are out now. Now, smoking is, you know, traditionally something kids do to rebel.
Right.
They want to be naughty. They want to be dangerous. They want to be defiant and stand up to the man. Do you think that the anti-smoking campaigns are making it that much more dangerous and that much more defiant?
Huh.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Because it
was making it that much more enticing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you had 25, 30 years ago when it was like, cigarettes may be bad, but the jury's still out. Well, it's like, all right, I'll smoke. I'll be bad anyway. But now you're really bad if you smoke at 14.
Yeah.
All right. Bill Dwyer is here tonight from BattleBots.
I used to smoke.
10 o'clock, Tuesday nights. Bill is going to talk more about how Yul Brynner changed his life after this.
Loveline.
1-800-LOVE-191.
Hi, this is Jesus Christ.
This is Eric Cartman.
This is Kyle Broslowski.
And this is Counselor Mackey. Okay, we're from South Park.
And you're listening to Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Yes, you is. And another one of the stars in the galaxy over at Comedy Central, Bill Dwyer, is here tonight.
That's a beautiful network, that Comedy Central.
I do like them, especially, although I'm coming from MTV, so anything seems good. You know, it's all relative for that piece-ass network. You know, one thing you got to give me kudos for, I said horrible things about MTV the whole time I was on the network, and since I've been off, I haven't really said anything bad about them.
So tear it up.
Okay. Here's the deal. Cheap amateurs is how I would classify MTV. Very super cheap. Super duper 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 cheap.
Cheap
and
in certain areas. Cheap in certain areas.
Yes,
whenever they're doing
yes,
a show,
right.
Talent,
all
writers,
areas.
Everybody, they
right.
They go cheap.
That's right. They get. Yeah. They remind me of K-Rock, the mother station out here in Los Angeles, which is super duper cheap in the sense that, hey, and here's their argument. We're doing you a favor by putting you on our network. You 21-year-old who no one has ever heard of.
Oh,
we're giving you,
sure.
We're giving you exposure.
Right.
And in a way, they got a point. It's just other networks don't look at it that way. All right, anyway, Bill Dwyer, Comedy Central's, I was going to say man show, but that's my show, BattleBots.
I watched your show last night, too.
Oh, fantabulous.
Whatever.
Man, that could be so rude.
Yeah, it's really.
Oh, man.
You know, the thing about the man show, it's fine when you're doing it. It's just when you have to watch it, it's painful.
Yeah,
very uncomfortable.
I remember that with Loveline, too.
Yeah, Loveline was the same way.
Same way,
felt fine sitting out there.
Listening.
And you'd watch it, especially if you were watching with somebody.
Oh, you go, holy Christ, what were we talking about?
Remember you that? Know, I warmed up your show once. I met you guys a long time ago. I warmed up your show once. But, like, when it first started,
oh my
I
God.
Warmed it up and, you know. That's crazy. That was a terrible warm up. I was just awful. Well, I did it because I did it once.
Oh, you know, I did it like one night. Right.
I did like two shows, whatever. And, you know, I'm just a terrible warm up. How's everybody doing?
How you doing?
Go to hell. We hate you. All right. Yeah, exactly. Oh, man.
Ryan?
Yes.
You're 15?
Yes.
What's up?
A few weeks ago, I started having violent thoughts about stabbing my dad.
Perfectly normal, perfectly healthy.
Good times.
And, yeah, why?
I don't know. It seems like everything he's doing is just getting on my nerves.
Was he violent with you at one point?
No.
Never?
No.
Anybody been violent with you?
No.
This is your biological father?
Yes.
What do you mean, getting on your nerves?
I don't know. He used to be in the Navy. He's retired.
Yeah.
And, you know, I could be watching TV or something. He'd be like, what are you doing? I'm like, watching TV. He's like, well, why don't you go do something productive, like clean your room or something?
Right.
And I'd be like, well, okay. My room's clean. I spent 2 hours in it this morning. Like, and then he'd just, like, storm on into my room. And then when he'd find a piece of dust or something, he would yell at me and tell me that this is, like, it's filthy, blah, 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 blah. And then I'd have to clean it.
Yeah, all right. Well, he's busting your chops a little bit.
That's quasi-normal parent behavior, though.
Yeah, where's your mom?
Here. They're still married.
Okay. Does she like you?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, your dad busts your chops. What about your mom? Does she defend you?
Well, since when I first had the thought of stabbing my dad, I told my mom. And she's like, well, I know you can pull through this because I know you have that capability. I know you're strong enough to do that. Sometimes when he's yelling at me or something, she'll be like, well, Tom, you do the same thing too, so.
Is your family religious?
We're Catholic. Mm-hmm. So I guess so, yeah.
Yeah. And your dad never was violent with you?
No.
But is he a hot-tempered guy?
Yes.
Was he violent with your mom?
No.
Maybe he's not really sort of processing what we mean by aggressive or violent. He may think it's normal, you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, he's not violent. He just has a really strong temper. If you tick him off, he just blows up.
Yeah, it's aggressive.
What he's a Navy guy.
More like a Ziggo or Tazbot, if you were to liken him to a battle bot.
I haven't seen that show many times.
Sounds like Ziggo.
Like Ziggo? Maybe Vlad.
Is he sounds like he's whirling.
Is he a big guy?
No.
Okay.
Really.
Well, listen, Ryan. You know, many a teenage boys had many a fantasy. Hopefully, it's about women, but for you, it's about stabbing your dad. You're not going to do it, correct?
Well, one night, he blew up at me, and see, I found this all started happening since I've been like diagnosed with diabetes.
Oh boy.
And, I mean, I don't...
Diabetic night, isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Usually Wednesday's diabetic night.
All right, so there's a lot of stuff going on here. You've got the dealing with having a serious illness. And, you know, adolescents do a lot of strange stuff with diabetes. They stop taking their insulin. They just blow the whole thing off.
Well, what will it do to you if you stop? I mean, what's it do to your mind?
Not his mind. I mean, he'll end up in a hospital very quickly. With something called diabetic ketoacidosis, which is a life-threatening problem. It happens rather quickly. But then on top of that, you've got a dad who is very aggressive and who's helping sort of initiate these fantasies of aggressive acting out on your part in the face of trying to deal with having chronic illness and the dad that blows up at you. There's a lot going on here, Ryan. Why don't you talk to the doctor that's helping with the diabetes about getting help with dealing with being diabetic? They'll get you, send you to somebody to talk to about this. There's a whole thing that adolescents go through. There are people that specialize in helping adolescents deal with that.
Oh, what about the stabbing the dad part?
It's just he's angry.
All right. Well, look, don't do it so we can be
agree to us you won't do it. Yeah.
Okay. Obviously. And I don't know. Talk to your mom. See if you can find an ally in your mom. She seems a little lukewarm on him stabbing dad.
Well, she's kind of blowing it off.
Well, she said, I know you're strong. You get through this. I mean, they're Catholic, you know. Maybe he wants to talk to his priest. I don't know. Sometimes they're good guys, you know. Sometimes you can talk to a priest and they're okay, you know. At least you can talk to somebody and you know they're not going to squeal.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Priests don't tell anybody except other priests, and then they don't get out
much. Oh, and God. They tell God.
They squeal to God.
They do. They go running to God.
Stooly to God. Jeff?
Hi.
Hey, you're 17.
Yeah.
You calling from North Hollywood?
Yes.
No. Oh. Where in North Hollywood?
Colfax and Irvine.
Oh, my God.
No, it's Colfax and Margate.
Margate?
Yeah.
I lived in Colfax for a while. Right off Colfax. I lived like Chandler.
Yeah, it's like right by the high school. High.
I was just thinking that.
You lived by the junior high.
No, that was the high school.
Chandler. That's where I lived.
Did you live on Chandler?
I went to North Hollywood High.
Oh, okay.
My high school. Yeah,
wow.
I lived off Chandler. I lived on Carpenter.
Oh.
Off of Chandler and a Colfax over there. That was my digs.
Yeah, that barn across the street there.
Yeah.
What?
No, the barn was across the street from Colfax Elementary.
Oh, really?
How dare you.
Hey, one thing I just realized, Adam.
Yeah.
For all the hatred you have for North Hollywood, you hustled on back and bought a house right there.
I didn't buy a house in North Hollywood.
Toluca Lake?
Virtually.
Where?
Sherman Oaks. Well, it's better in North Hollywood.
Yeah.
And number two, that's the party house.
I understand.
I just go there, you know, so I can sleep with hookers and stuff. Jeff?
Yeah?
Where's the other house?
Hollywood.
Oh, okay.
What's up there, Jeff?
Okay. Every time me and my girlfriend have sex.
No.
You're gay.
No, you don't have sex.
What?
You do not have sex.
Yeah.
Are you really having sex or you're trying to have sex?
I'm trying to have sex.
There you go.
Okay.
Do you see? I can tell by his voice. He's a virgin.
Oh, no. He's
hung
bogus,
up. Yeah, bogus.
He's not 17 either.
How old do you think he was?
Could have been 13.
14, 15, yeah. But we can tell virgins, not virgins.
Wow, you guys are good.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't, the voice does not lie.
It's like body language. You can just read it.
Right. Absolutely. All right, Drew, you got another call?
I'm going to take a break right now. Oh,
really?
No. My watch is off.
You gassy? What do you want to do? All right. Mike?
Yeah, what's up, guys?
You're 20.
Yeah, I'm 20. The reason I'm calling is because I'm a bit confused, right? Like, I would call myself bisexual, but then again, I'm not. Like, it probably doesn't make sense.
Yeah, well, this is bye-bye to hetero, I think, is one of those.
Yeah, I'm not straight. I know that much.
Yeah, okay. At your age, it's very common for young men who are gay to not want to be gay, to really have difficulty struggling with that and cling to anything they can to try to sort of dilute that reality.
Well, if you start off as a heterosexual, don't you almost have to pass through bisexual county to get to Gayville? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm cruising on the road right now. Like, I don't know where I want to stop. Does that make sense?
Yeah, well, that's what's in the chair. Sure. Putting it. Yeah.
Why don't you spend the night in Sodomburg?
What lies past Gayville, by the way? Is that
Helland?
The zoo.
Oh, Drew, please. How dare you?
The thing is, though, is like when I'm like with a guy, right? Like,
right.
I don't necessarily enjoy it. But when I'm with a girl, I just like having sex with girls better. But like, say.
What was that now? Wait. What's that?
He likes having sex with girls better.
Yeah.
But all the pressure of a 20-year-old male to have sex with other males, you know.
But like
society.
When I masturbate, like it's all guy. Like it's like internet porn, whatever. It's all guy. Like I just girls do nothing for me.
Did I hear that?
Right,
you
there.
Like having sex with women better?
Like physically, yeah.
That's a
why?
That's
why?
A red flag, right?
Yeah,
there.
Why?
It's just better. It's like I don't have to go down. Like I don't enjoy like the act of having sex with a guy. I just enjoy like the fantasy of it and everything leading up to, you know, the sex.
He might not be gay.
No.
Were you sexually abused?
No. I mean, when I was younger, I experimented a lot.
What does that mean?
Well, he was seven. His uncle was 34.
Your uncle?
No. Just like, you know, sleepovers, Boy Scouts, whatever. Is like, hey, what's up? You know, so.
No, that's
with
not,
other boys,
that's
or
not experimenting. So somebody had to do that to you to begin with to get it going. Where to first start?
I don't know. The first time I ever remember is my mom caught me and a friend, like out in the backyard. Mm-hmm. I was like four. That's like one of the vague memories I've got of being 4 years old.
Okay, but
when you're four.
Be that as it may, you enjoy sex with a woman, but you fantasize about sex with a man. Do you think because it's sort of taboo or naughty or something?
I have no idea.
Well, like, let me float this theory. We never talk about it for men, but women will oftentimes fantasize about things they would never do sexually when it comes to masturbating. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Hold on, Drew. Don't cramp on this theory just yet. This may be a decent theory. Bill, join in on this.
I'm right here with you.
Yul Brynner. No. Women will fantasize sexually about having threesomes and orgies and sometimes even being raped and stuff like that.
When they're masturbating. When they're having sex,
But in real life, they would never want to be raped or manhandled or what have you. But this is a fantasy. They go to a naughty place. And for their fantasy, men never do this. Men, they would love, whatever they're jacking off to, they would love just to walk right out of the TV screen and actually
do it.
But could Mike be a kind of guy who's actually liking the homoerotic stuff because it's dirtier, it's more taboo for his masturbation, but in real life is really not that physically into it?
I like the theory.
It's a strong theory.
It's totally bogus.
Yeah, it's bogus. It doesn't work.
Why? Because
that's not how people are.
Women would do this.
Yes.
Men don't do this.
Exactly. And he, it's like his sexual identity is sort of compartmentalized. He's like not complete.
Right.
He really is bisexual, but he's sort of.
Well, let me ask an Erica. Mike.
Yeah, what's up?
Are you religious? Would your family really freak out over this?
No, actually, my family knows. Like, I had to talk to my mom.
No, Mike, really, seriously. Mike, this is a perfect.
Had a talk with his mom.
I know, shocking, but this is a perfect sort of situation for therapy because you've got to pick a direction here, and you got to sort of sort through what's pulling you in each direction.
Right.
He sounds kind of ambivalent and confused, and he likes having sex more with women. He has two things that you never see in either gay or straight men. Straight men don't have like fantasies about homoerotic stuff and feel great about it.
No, we're sickened by it.
They react to it.
Thank you.
And gay men don't like having sex with women. They don't. It's not compelling for them.
Right.
Okay. He's compelled. So he's really in two. He's really
a new breed.
Yeah. He really is. I'd like to.
Why?
Yeah.
Who do you like spending time with more?
Well, that's a good question. Because he's not really comfortable with this.
Who do you like talking to? Men? Women?
Most of my friends are like most of my close friends. Well, I have like three really close girlfriends, three like really close guy friends. Like it's very evened out. Okay. I don't feel like I'm like.
If you're happy with this, go on. I mean, enjoy. But if this is conflicted for you, you need to kind of sort this out.
He's bisexual. But it doesn't sound that bad.
No,
he's talking
fine.
To his mom about it.
Yeah, he sounds okay.
Yeah, that must have been a great conversation. Good news and bad news. Good news is I'm into bad.
I like the ladies.
I'm into the ladies. Bad news, whacking off to a gay internet porn. All right, good night. Happy Rosh Hashanah. Bill Dwyer is our guest tonight from BattleBots.
Oh, Rabbi Shmuley.
We will take ourselves a little break. We'll be back.
Loveline will be right back, so get your problems ready.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Bill Dwyer is our guest tonight. Bill is the host of BattleBots, 10 o'clock Tuesday nights, Comedy Central. This is a great show.
The only Comedy Central show that that's good for the whole family.
That's
the only one, really.
It's very true.
The only one they'll show Sunday morning and not worry about it.
It's very true.
Yeah.
I really enjoy this show. I love the announcer.
Yeah, it's not namby-pamby. Oh, you like Mark Birrell?
Yes, not because he's good, just because I like him.
We get a big kick out of him. I believe he bills himself as the third most famous ring announcer in the world.
Right.
So we know who the first one is. I don't know who the second one is.
Jimmy Lennon Jr., probably.
Who's that? The second most famous.
I'd say.
Does he have a catchphrase?
My dad used to do this, and now he's gotten me into the business.
I reluctantly followed in his footsteps.
Right, his dad was a big ring announcer for many years. I think it's Jimmy Lennon Jr.
Oh, okay.
He's sort of he doesn't look like a ring announcer. Sort of a blonde, sort of meek looking guy.
Oh.
And I think his dad did it for many, many, many years, but. Be that as it may. Melanie?
Yeah.
You're 25?
Ew, unfortunately.
What's up? What's wrong with being 25?
Yeah.
I I have a problem keeping a man in my life.
Uh-huh.
I have a 7-year-old daughter. Oh, I was very young.
Yeah.
And I now have a 10-month-old son.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a very responsible mother. I hold everything on my own. I just can't keep a man in my life.
What does that keep a man? What does that mean?
I can't. My son's father was in and out of my life for 4 years. He'd go to another woman instead of be with me.
Right.
And
what about the latest dad?
That's him. The same guy? Father.
The first dad, what did he do?
And then
we kind of bailed on each other. I was too young, and he started bailing out, saying, you know, go get an abortion. I said, heck no, it took two to make this baby. It's at least going to take one to raise it.
That's a nice piece of nothing that helps your kid in no way.
I have... Okay,
but it's good. I hate people with those isms. They always mean they just mean nothing. But
I realize another family could have done better. But
all right. Well, listen. You did. You're taking care of your kid, right?
Right.
How about the guys you choose? Maybe that's the problem.
Yeah.
Well, I'm learning that a lot of my problem probably stood by the good girls like bad boys, but. You know, I've done it all.
No.
I love the club scene.
There you go. The club scene.
Oh, wow. Well, that chalk went up.
Look what it gets you.
Yeah. But wait a minute. Are you?
I did. Huh?
Why do you consider yourself a good girl?
I don't consider myself a bad girl.
Well, it doesn't make you a good girl. I mean, you got two kids, no daddy, and you love the club scene. You're 25. Is that good
girl? But she's a responsible mother.
Mm. Are you?
I take men home from the club scene. I just love the club scene.
Okay.
Yeah, Melanie,
you got to start loving the Scrabble scene.
And also to say good girls are attracted to bad boys means nothing.
Well, I've done the church scene.
Yeah.
I've done.
Here's the deal. You're looking for your. You asked the question.
It's a lot of scenes.
Let me make a quick assessment on Melanie. She. Has a lot of sort of isms.
Yeah,
and
it's all intellectual crap. Nonsense.
Yeah, yeah. It takes two to make a baby. Yeah. It's going to take one to raise. I've done this. A good girl's like a bad. It's all just about
total BS.
Yes, she does not seem like she knows herself at all.
No.
She has a quick answer for everything, but it's just a bunch of it's just words.
So ask the questions,
Melanie.
Yes.
Where's your dad?
Thank you.
never known.
Yeah, this is your problem. This is what you're looking for. It's not about being bad. It's about trying to make good. The abandoning dad. So what you pick is guys that are abandoning.
Right. Now you got two kids who don't know their dad.
That's right.
What's she trying to do then? Change him? Twist him?
Well, that's what they try. That's the way humans work.
Trying to fix something.
Trying to fix something from her past. Make it good this time. Make him love me this time. But of course, when you pick guys that are abandoning, they abandon.
Yeah.
That's the kind of guy you pick.
The thing that's horrible about the logic of it, and there's no logic involved with it.
It's an emotional thing.
It's like you had a car growing up. That always had a bad carburetor, so you're going to buy a new car and try to fix the carburetor, except for the new car's fuel injected and doesn't have a carburetor, but it doesn't matter. You're going to fix in the new car what was broken in a car you had 20 years ago.
Okay.
Right. Okay, so Melanie?
Yeah.
How about a little therapy and a little break from guys and not putting all your energy into what's up with guys?
Read this book, Dreams of Love and Fateful Encounters.
Did you write that down?
Okay.
Dreams of Love and Fateful Encounters. And we'll help you understand why you do these things.
From an actual
knowledgeable perspective, not a bunch of aphorisms.
I'd like to recommend one called Hop on Pop.
I would, I'll go with Of Mice and Men.
So, yes, you did counseling.
I did counseling. And they pinpointed it back to my childhood.
There you go. And now you got to do the work.
And we're telling you the same thing.
But it's like it was no answers. My doctor put me on Zoloft.
Melanie, if you don't do the work, the work takes long periods of time, nothing's going to change.
All right.
So what work? Nothing? Just step back?
Step back and get into a little therapy on behalf of your kids. Because you're giving them a bad example right now.
Well, they don't see men in and out
Listen,
of my life.
Listen, it's you, the emotional
they
life
got
you're
you
living.
As a mom,
yeah,
though.
The emotional life you're living is disturbed right now, and it needs some help. Right.
Yeah, and they'll sense that.
They're living that life. That's the one they're living with you.
Yeah, absolutely. And listen, even if they're too young to speak, one of them is, one of them isn't. The ones that can't speak, it's all just vibration. Believe me, you're sending it off.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk to Lizzie, who's 17. Lizzie?
Hello.
What's up?
I'm on this medication, and I'm on this medication to stabilize my moods, but I'm really depressed, and the doctor won't put me on antidepressants.
What medicines are you taking?
Depakote and Seroquel.
Well, Seroquel is kind of an antidepressant.
But it's not working.
Okay, well, then you need to keep talking to your doctor about it. I'm sure they have reasons for not wanting to. You probably had some severe manic episodes, right?
No, I didn't. Well, I had kind of anger issues.
Yeah, that's mania. That's irritability is mania. And that must have caused you some problems.
Well, it wasn't irritability. It was more like rage.
Okay. Call it as you wish. It must have caused some serious problems, and they, above all, don't want to trigger that mania again.
But wouldn't the Depakote kind of, like, override it?
Not necessarily.
Hey, Dr. Lizzie, who's currently going for a GED and having difficulty, why don't you just listen to the goddamn doctors, would you please? Yes?
Get your levels checked. Make sure you're getting adequate levels of Depakote. Maybe a little more Seroquel. Talk to them about that. But let them do their job, okay? And
all right.
If that's somebody, if you can't relate to that guy, just get another one. But don't prescribe for yourself.
All right, and don't get pregnant.
Yeah.
Wait, Adam?
Yeah.
Ooh, we got a break.
I got to ask for this one, like, favor because just, all right.
All right, hold on, retard. Jesus Christ.
She's going to fly into a rage.
I was looking.
I can't believe you cut her off.
We'll get back. She can answer fair. I was looking at the clock, and she goes, Adam, just one more favor. And I looked at the clock, and I went, well, we're running late for break. And then she stumbled for the next 20 minutes.
She's going to go to a rage.
There we go. We'll be back.
Bill Dwyer's here. We'll be back.
Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191. Back in a minute.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. David Alan Greer is going to be in here tomorrow night, so everyone buckle up for that. He always comes in here in a real manic episode and goes nuts.
How long have you been blind, deaf, and dumb? I can't take it, Adam!
Twinkie hole.
Bill Dwyer is our guest tonight from Comedy Central's Battle Bots.
Yeah, and this is an eye-opener for me, too. Come on.
Really?
I mean, I've listened to you guys, but I never realized how... You're good. You guys are good.
Oh, thanks. Well, people...
You pick the posers just like that. I don't care about coming back. My stomach's also churning, too. All this crazy stuff.
Bill,
I'm on Zoloft and Bancroft and... What?
Bill, you can find September 10th on his half-hour comedy special on at 10 o'clock on Comedy Central as well. So,
how come, Adam, they don't do a comedy special for you?
Well, I'd imagine if I tried to put together a stand-up act, they might let me do something.
You do a stand-up act?
I said I have to put it together.
They could just take Cameron and film you and I doing our thing.
Who? Comedy Central?
They would.
That's called Loveline, the TV show, right?
No, but I mean the college thing.
Oh, yeah. All right, Drew.
Tell him. Say the word. You guys want me to make a call?
Yeah, make a call to Debbie Liebling. All right, let's move forward and talk to
I want to really help someone here.
Lizzie wanted to finish saying something to Adam.
Oh.
Right.
Hey, thanks.
Yeah.
All right, Adam?
Yes.
I got to ask for this, like, brief favor.
All right.
All right, let me explain. About a year ago, actually, like, a year exactly, I got locked up, and it really sucked, and basically there was nothing to do there, and, you know, I sat around and got fat.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about a psychiatric hospital.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is why they don't want to give you antidepressants, all right?
Well, no, I wasn't on any medication at the time.
I understand, but you must have done something rageful.
No, actually, it was for running away, but anyway. Anyways... Basically, the only thing they had there was this radio, and it was really great because once you got up to, like, this high level, you got the radio to listen to at night, and there was this song you used to always sing. do you know what song I'm talking about? He
has it all. Oh, the theme from Taboo 2?
No. You know, I know what's going on.
Oh, yes, yes.
Can you sing that for me, please? It would just make my evening.
You don't have that on tape?
Yeah.
The old vagina tape?
Yeah. Do you, Anderson, do you have the old vagina song? Because I don't really remember what it was exactly.
Who knows what goes on in the old vagina, the old vagina, the old vagina.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you, Lizzie.
No problem.
All right. No, and
we haven't heard Taboo 2 in quite some time, though, I must admit.
Let's hear it. Okay, why not? This this is the theme to one of my favorite old porn movies, Taboo 2. And it's about a guy, the main character, the central character, his character's name is Junior. And Junior is not only banging his girlfriend, but his sister and his mom. And this is a song.
Taboo.
Yeah. However, right. in that day and age when this porn was actually created, he was considered just an expressive, creative, experimental kind of guy. Just exploring his sexuality.
And this is
1979.
This little ditty is from the movie, and it's sort of an ode to Junior.
He has it all. Yes, he does. He knows how to please in every detail. He can do more than you'd ever imagine. And do it with style. He does it with me. Oh, yes, he does. I know that you thought that you knew him.
Here's my favorite part.
Well, maybe you did. But you don't. He only reveals what he wants you to see, and then shows it all. And when he does, he satisfies me.
I don't know if this was mom singing.
You only knew just what he could do.
Come on, Anderson.
You'd want him to if you only knew.
Yeah.
Wow, it goes in places you just never think.
No.
You think they're going to rhyme, and they don't, and detail, and...
Yeah, it's a very... I'd really like to see Taboo 2 brought to the stage as a musical. I could star as Junior.
Springtime for Taboo 2.
That's right. Allison?
Yeah?
You're 14? What's up?
What's up with you?
What's up?
I said, what's up?
All right, what do you want?
Okay, well, actually, I have two questions, if that's not a problem.
Real quick, right. Let's go.
Okay, well, probably about a year ago, I started, a guy just called in, and he said how he was, experimenting when he was younger, and I was just wondering if that was weird at such a young age, because, I, was experimenting with my friend.
Well, experimenting is one thing, but doing... sexually directed activities.
Well, no, it's
he was four, that guy.
Yeah. We didn't get
you
much.
Don't know what you're doing when you're four. Yeah, but, I don't think.
When 4-year-olds are sexually abused by an adult, then they start having very sexually directed
activities. Well, I was abused when I was little.
There you go.
So. Yeah. Well, no, it's like I like being with guys, but it's just, I feel more comfortable with girls. It's like...
Were you abused by a male?
Yeah.
Okay.
Who abused you?
My stepdad. When I was about 4 years old.
Those guys.
Aren't they assholes?
Yeah. Is it always the stepdad, isn't
often,
it?
It is often.
Or the butcher? Not. Who is it?
It's the candlestick maker who did it with me. I don't want to tell you where he put that candlestick.
It was Professor Plum with me.
In the library.
Hey, Allison.
Yeah.
Yeah, this guy's a despicable guy. Is your mother still with him?
Actually, he's in jail because he killed her.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
At least you can be jovial about it.
Inappropriate laughter. He killed your mom?
What?
He killed your mom?
Yeah.
What happened?
When?
When I was like 7.
What happened?
Well, I'm pretty sure, it was like in all the newspapers. He walked into her office and just killed her.
How long ago?
I don't know, probably 7 years ago. 7 or 8.
And where have you been living since?
With my dad and my stupid stepmom.
Oh,
and how's your dad?
Oh, my dad's great. We have open communication and all that. But
really?
How you laugh when you said this guy killed
you? Well, because I'm like on the radio.
She's nervous.
She's uncomfortable.
Yeah, I'm nervous.
Nervous laughter.
Yeah.
Right.
It must have been tough to deal with that.
Yeah. Well, I try and talk about it with my friends. It's just weird.
Yeah. Have you gotten any therapy?
Like when I was really little.
Right.
And, I mean, I was like talking to my dad about it because this also brings up the other question. And whenever I get really pissed off, I was just wondering if this is like weird because whenever I get really pissed off, it's like I burn myself.
Oh,
like,
boy.
And it's like I can't feel the pain. It just makes me feel better.
It makes, yeah, it's a way of managing the overwhelming.
And
effect.
It's like I just wanted to know if that was weird because my friend kind of pointed out to me and said, you know, I should stop.
Well, it's weird for people who weren't raped by their stepdad and didn't have their mother killed. But for what you've been through, it's about normal.
But it is a symptom of how severe your distress is emotionally. And right. It really does suggest
so
some treatment is warranted here.
That means that I'm kind of not over it. I mean, I feel like I'm over it.
No, you're not over that. I'm not sure you ever get over it.
You're not going to get over that for...
Sounds like you're managing it okay, but you've got some other stuff going on here.
Okay.
You sound like a smart kid.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, you and you'll have an okay life, but you're going to have to put a little work in. Because you got off to a rocky start. Not your fault.
Yeah.
Your mom made a decision that got you molested and got her killed, basically.
Well, I was just wondering if it's like, I mean, is it just like I'm ignorant right now, or is it just that... You know, I'm a bisexual or something. What is it? I mean...
You mean what about your sexual identity?
Yeah.
Well,
you're going to have trouble forming any kind of solid sense of self with all that you've been through.
Okay.
And your sexuality particularly is going to be kind of an issue for you because of having been so badly sexually abused. So
right.
You need help sorting through these things. There's a lot of... That part of the brain, that emotional part of the brain that's not logical and doesn't use language... That needs help developing with the traumas it's been through, and you need very trusted care.
So I need therapy.
You really would help. You
listen, I'm going to the shrink tomorrow, and it's because my dad missed a handful of Pop Warner football games.
And Adam's been going for 11 years.
For
11 years.
15. That son of a bitch.
All right, Allison, just put that in perspective. Of course, he doesn't do any work. He doesn't talk to that much guy. Anything.
Talk about Pop Warner football.
Yeah.
My dad's great. You know, I love to. You know, my thing in life now is I now torture my dad
for
being an absentee dad because he's broke and he wants. You know, he's a good enough guy. He was not a great dad.
He always working or was he horsing around?
He wasn't doing either one.
He
liked to sit home and read. He didn't like to go to Pop Warner football games. But now he needs the son because he wants to go back to Philadelphia once a year and stuff. And he doesn't have any money, so I got to pay for him. But I like to torture him now, which is the good news. And I told him two things. He wanted to go back for his birthday to Philadelphia again, and he said, can you afford that? And I said, the question isn't whether I can afford it. The question is, do you deserve it? Which felt nice.
And then did he laugh?
Then the other day, he laughed. And then the other day, I talked to him, and he said, I just got back in town. I was in Colorado for about 4 days. And I said, you were in Colorado? And he said, yeah. And I said, geez, I don't remember authorized paying for that. You got another son? What's going on here? Yeah, it's nice. It's great. That's why every kid should be successful. They go back and torture their parents.
Yeah.
All right, Allison has a lot of work to do.
But she's doing okay.
She's doing good for someone who's been through what she's been through.
Right.
And Allison, you're going to have a million different feelings, and don't question them, but also don't act on them.
Right.
Contain. It's okay to have those feelings.
Contain.
Just contain them and realize these were feelings that were created a long time ago.
Don't burn yourself.
And write about them.
Right.
Yeah.
Tina?
Oh, hi.
Hey, yeah, you're 19. What's up?
That was crazy.
Oh, hi. I have a brother who he seemed to like play with himself when I'm like in the room.
What do you mean?
He
actually overtly does it, or you think that's what he's doing?
He does it.
Have you told him to stop?
Does he take his pants off, or does he do it through his...
He was sitting on the couch, and I was, like, sitting on, you know, at the computer. And then he would cover himself with a blanket, but I'd see him, like, his hand moving up and down. Mm-hmm. And he'd have, like, a horny look on his face or something.
Oh, boy.
How old is he?
He's 15.
Well, all 15-year-olds have a horny look on their face, so that's out the window.
It stays there until they're...
So they're like in the 40s.
But my other brothers never, you know, did anything like that. And
you're his biological sister?
Yeah.
Do you think he's doing it?
He won't go in the bathroom and do it. He just does it when there are people in the room. I don't understand.
Well, no, he does it when Tina's in the room. He's doing it to Tina.
Is he? Well, wait a minute. I want to ask it. Do you think he's doing it to you?
No.
Is he doing it now?
I don't think she understands what that means, even.
He's asleep.
Well, what? Why wouldn't he be doing it to you if he's doing it when you're in the room?
He doesn't look at me.
I know it's a bad. You well endowed?
No.
Well, no.
I am cute.
Yeah.
But.
Well, you just heard the theme from Taboo, so you know it happens. Okay.
But you don't.
Yes. I know it's your thought that you knew your brother, but you don't. Oh, maybe you did, but you don't now.
Man.
Okay, can you say something to him? What if you say something to him?
Well, I have. I said, you know, go in the bathroom or something, and he's like, he doesn't really respond.
Right. He's getting a kick out of it, too. Yeah, he must be.
I think you got to tell your mom.
I have told her, and she has talked to him about it, but she...
What exactly did you tell her?
You know, he's playing with himself, like, when I'm in the room again. Okay.
Is he retarded?
No.
Is there something wrong with him?
I don't know, but he did run up like a $1,000 phone bill like on
sex lines.
Yeah.
Is there addiction in your family? Alcoholism.
Yeah.
Yeah. He something may have happened to him early on. He may have been sort of touched or something, and you add that to a gene for addiction, and you get people that can't contain some of those sexual behaviors.
Oh.
And so he really needs, I mean, your mom needs to take this very seriously, because this is going to be a progressive issue for him.
Yeah, your mom, tell your mom that Drew and Adam said contain this little effer before he's unleashed on society.
Yeah, because he'll...
And killing hookers 3 years from now.
Yeah, because, you know, he'll look at, you know, pornography on the internet and then, like, leave it to where I can find it.
Yeah, but he is masturbating to you. That's what he's doing.
Well,
and it's just completely out of line.
And that blanket.
Yeah, there should be some sort of sister exchange program where I could masturbate to you and he could masturbate to my sister.
It wouldn't be quite so weird then, would it?
She's a little older, but she's still a piece of ass.
If we could set up a satellite system, something.
Tina, how about you thinking about getting out of that house, too?
Yeah, you're 19. Yeah, this is a...
This guy's disturbed.
This is a serious issue. I mean, it can be treated, but it's got to be taken seriously.
This kid's as disturbed as anyone we've heard about. Is he not?
It's hard to say from what she's telling us, but it's a pretty focused issue right now. It could be a lot of stuff going on.
Possibly, but and you got a situation where you told your mom and she's like, well, kids are kids, you know. I mean,
yeah, that's more disturbing than anything, frankly.
Your mom should have, you know, gone nuts when she should have
airlifted him to a psychiatric facility. I mean, that's,
right.
Yeah.
That and a $1,000 phone bill.
Yeah, because, you know, he has done that in my room when we were, you know, playing video games.
He's masturbated.
Yeah, and I'm like, what are you doing?
Hey, but Tina... Here's what I'm gonna give you the speech I give to people I usually reserve for people with bad roommates, which is put a lock on your door.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need this guy getting hopped up on NyQuil and stumbling into your room at 4 in the morning while you're asleep.
I have a lock on my door.
Good. Lock your door every night. And you're 19. It's time to start thinking about moving out, going to college, or getting a gig or whatever.
Yeah, okay? Get out of there, okay?
Can you get out of there?
Yeah, I'm going to.
Where are you going? Junior college?
Yeah.
Which one?
Forget it. Forget junior college.
Santa Monica City College?
Hmm?
Where are you going?
No plan. Oh, boy.
You don't know the name of your junior college?
Yeah, I know the name of it, but I don't really want to give out too much information.
Okay, listen. Quit junior college, get a job, and move out.
But get your mom to do something about your brother. He's in need of help.
Okay.
All right.
Or you hook up with some people at the junior college, you get a little apartment.
Yeah, get a. Listen, I moved out. I had my roommate, the Wheeze, Don, and we got a one-bedroom apartment in North Hollywood.
And Gad Abu Zamzam.
Umgad Abu Zamzam.
Wasn't he with you?
He moved in later. There's a series of squatters and crashers after that. That's when we had three guys living there.
You're always going to start in a one-bedroom, two people
one
in one-bedroom.
One-bedroom, two guys, one futon. The rent was like $450
a month.
And all, you know,
you
no car insurance, no nothing. Just come up with enough to cover rent.
Yeah.
Umgad was funny. Jesus Christ, I hope he's not listening.
Is that his first name?
Yeah, Umgad Abu Zam Zam. But
Umgad?
I swear to God, I don't...
Ummy, they called him.
Ummy, we called him. Actually, I only called him Ummy when I wanted something from him.
Because like, that rolls off the tongue.
No, the guy's a genius, and he went on to... went on to have this huge set-building company that builds these crazy sets for all these huge commercials. You know, commercials where the cars are driving through the mazes, and there's a giant boulder behind him. He does all that. Now the guy's a millionaire and everything, so it's all cool. But Umgad was driving us nuts because we had three guys living in a one-bedroom.
Right.
And me and the Wheeze decided we wanted him out, but we couldn't... We didn't have the heart to tell Ummy, hey, it's time to hit the road, and he didn't have any place to go. So I called our landlord. The guy's name was Jim.
Told him you had three people living there?
He was in his 50s, and he wore braces, this guy, Jim. Yeah. But I called Jim, and I said, hey, Jim, it's Adam, the world's worst tenant. And, yes, you remember me. The guy. By the way, when Jim came to clean out our apartment after we'd moved, he announced to me that in his 30-some-odd years and 20-some-odd apartment buildings with hundreds and hundreds of units, he'd never seen a unit in this bad a condition. He just kept telling me that repeatedly. It was like, in a way, it was a sort of form of flattery. It was a dubious honor.
To get that.
We have to find this guy and bring him in here.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the stories he would tell you. But this guy, so I called my landlord, and it was one of these great conversations. I said, hey, Jim, this is Adam. I don't know if you know it, but we got three guys living here right now, and we want one of them out. And so if you could draft up an official-looking letter saying that it has come to your attention that there's three and that's a violation of the agreement and blah, 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 we could get this guy out. And he goes, you're not supposed to have three guys living there. And I go, I know. That's why I'm making the phone call, and I want one out. When did three guys move in there? I was like, Jim, let's not live in the past. Just draft the goddamn letter. Jim. Let's get this thing moving. He'd acted as if he'd stumbled onto the thing, and I kept going, I know, right there. He goes, well, this is going to have to end. I know, write the letter. We'll Jim, get this thing done.
He
was like, yeah, because you can't have three people. You know,
in his head, he's going,
tell you, you couldn't have two guys.
If you think you're going to manipulate me into helping you.
Right.
Now, wait a minute. No, whoa, but that guy's got to go. Whoa, wait a minute.
It was a great conversation.
Poor Jim.
Crystal?
Yeah?
You're 13?
Mm-hmm.
You're on with Bill Dwyer from BattleBots. What's
up? Which you probably don't watch.
Nope.
It's more for the guys.
Yeah.
The guys like it.
Oh, they love it.
But it's for the ladies, too.
I love that BattleBots. Go ahead there, Crystal.
Okay. I'm not saying I've had sex, but I was just wondering, what is the probability of being pregnant, like, after you've had sex for, like, 2 minutes with protection?
What do you mean with protection?
Like a condom.
Somebody entered you for 2 minutes with a condom on.
She's not saying
it. Yeah, I understand, of course. It's theoretically a 13-year-old named Crystal who didn't have sex.
Right, right.
I think you're pretty well protected there if the condom stayed on.
So you're saying that you most likely wouldn't be pregnant?
Well, if the condom functioned correctly.
Yeah.
It didn't break or come off or anything?
Okay, that's cool.
Is that accurate? The condom didn't break or come off?
Yeah.
If you did have sex, who'd you have sex with?
Boyfriend.
Okay. I see.
If you did have.
How old is he?
If he was alive, how old would he be now?
Is he 18?
If there was a boyfriend, how old would he be?
14.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, baby. You're moving along pretty fast, right?
Yeah. You could slow down a bit.
Okay.
Take in the sights.
Thank you.
All right.
Hey, and Crystal.
Yeah?
Just because you're not pregnant this time doesn't mean you're not going to be pregnant the next time, all right?
Okay.
And so keep that in mind.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Take care of yourself.
Bye.
All right. Bill Dwyer's our guest tonight from BattleBots on Comedy Central Tuesday nights, 10 o'clock. We're going to take ourselves a little break. When we come back, Drew, we're going to speak to Matt. He's 22. While sleeping, he has sex with his girlfriend. It's like sleepwalking, he claims.
We'll nice.
After this.
Love Line with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
1-800-LOVE-191.
Hi, this is Dave Garn from Depeche Mode, and you're listening to 100.5 The Zone.
Hi, this is Shaggy.
Mr. Love up front and personal, and you're listening to Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Got it going on up close and personal.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Bill Dwyer's our guest tonight. He is from BattleBots. 10 o'clock, Tuesday nights, Comedy Central.
Again, not just for the ladies.
No. But mostly. Mostly for the teens, the male teens. I love this show. I really do. I really enjoy the BattleBots.
I'm telling you. It's a great show. I've got to say, I think it's a great show. Nobody gets hurt. Exciting. Learn something, maybe.
It moves, and it looks great, and they really up the ante this year in the Battle Dome there because they have all the hazards are scary now. I mean, the hazards used to be more like speed bumps than they were actual hazards.
Yeah.
There were things that sort of got in the way of you and the other robot, but now they destroy you.
Yeah. Huh?
They got the big hammer that comes down and the saw blades. And
last year, the hammer was breaking. Hammer was breaking. Now it never breaks. It never breaks.
And the thing
the pulverizer.
The pulverizer.
The kill saw is amazing.
Uh-huh. The thing that I couldn't get a straight answer to when I was out there doing it, because as I said earlier, Jimmy and I went and did like an exhibition thing against Jay Leno's robot.
And you were, you know what? Kudos to you, my friend. You were driving okay. You had some bad moments, but you got in there and you were actually able to drive. Again, that's hard. People don't realize
that experience flying those model airplanes.
Well, you know what was funny is I had this bot that had four wheels,
which are saws,
blades, saw blades, big 60-tooth carbide in shop grade, you know, like 12-inch saw blades. Now, I don't know if you've ever tried to drive something that doesn't actually have a tire on it. It actually has a saw blade on sort of a metallic floor.
Oh,
it doesn't exactly go real nice. I mean, when you stop, it doesn't stop. When you start, it spins out. But the thing was really funny. Mine wouldn't work right at the beginning of the match.
Yeah.
And the guy said, look, he gave me the remote. The remote had two gimbals on it, just like the one I used to fly the model airplane, so I felt pretty comfortable. And he said, push just one forward, and it'll go forward, and then you pull it back, it'll go in reverse. I said, all right. He went over there. He worked on it a little. While he was working on it...
You pushed it.
No. He flipped it over.
Oh.
Mm. And then he came back, and he said, all right, you're ready to go. And I said, didn't you just flip the thing over? Because they make them so they can be flipped over and work both ways.
Right.
And he said, yep. And I said, well... Now if I push forward, the thing goes backwards, and if I pull back, the thing goes forward. And he goes, oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh,
and I thought, hey, thanks for the tip, Pops. Thanks for the goddamn tip. We're
all
about
right.
to start the thing, and I'm 180 degrees off here.
Yeah.
Thanks for piping up.
Let's talk to Matt.
Blah, 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 blah.
Matt, 22.
Hey.
What's up?
Well, I'm hoping you have a... I'm hoping you've heard of my problem before, or you have a solution.
Go ahead. Tell us your problem.
Well, I tend to wake up in the middle of the night when I'm sleeping over at my girlfriend's house, 20 minutes or so after initiating sex with her.
So that's like when you wake up.
That's when I wake up, but I was the one who started the whole thing.
What time of night would that be?
Early morning.
So you said 20 minutes. So you wake up and you're just watching TV, drinking a beer?
No, I wake up.
He's already asleep again. What are you talking about?
No, I wake up and I'm on top of her and trying to do something. But, of course, I'm unconscious and I don't realize that she's got clothes on and God knows what I'm doing, you know. But I'm
hold on. Clothes on in the middle of the night while she's sleeping?
Yeah, she needs to start sleeping nude.
Yeah.
You need clothes on.
Well, it's embarrassing for me, though, because I, you know,
Wait a second, wait a second. First off, I don't know if I believe Matt.
No, completely. This is something we've heard of, Matt.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's not a wild question. No. It's just the way it's presented. Matt, what does she sleep in? Sweatpants?
No, she sleeps in pajamas. Yeah, like sweats.
Okay. And what does she do when you're on top of her and you wake up?
She's got to be a pretty sound sleeper.
Right.
She kind of goes along with it. Like, she thinks I'm awake.
Okay, so she wants to have sex, but...
Yeah, and we usually end up having sex, but it's just really embarrassing at first. And also, I've heard about, like, sleepwalkers becoming violent if you wake them up, and that kind of worries me.
Yeah. Not really.
That's an old grandma story, isn't it, Drew?
For the most part, yeah.
All right. But
do you have any other kind of sleeping disorders?
No, none.
Are you on any medication?
No.
Any medical problems?
None.
Is she on birth control?
No, she's not. We have to use a condom.
Well, how do you put the condom on while you're asleep?
I don't have a condom on, and I'm...
Right.
That's the only problem.
There you go.
She needs birth control. You need clothing.
And why? Why
well,
doesn't?
I'm wondering if there's something I can do to prevent the whole act. I mean, I'm not in control here. It's just happening in the middle of the night.
Do you have sex before you go to bed?
When that happens, no.
Why don't you have sex before you actually fall asleep?
Okay.
Oh, I know. No, that sounds like a bizarre notion for a 22-year-old who's raping his girlfriend while she's asleep. But why don't you go ahead and just have the sex before you go to bed? I bet it'll get out of your system.
Well, a lot of times we're getting in really late at night, and you know, we're both tired, and we just want to sleep.
Do you love the club scene?
Not really, no.
Okay. Yeah. Well, look, Matt, listen, hold on.
You're not using drugs or alcohol by the time you go to sleep.
Well, sometimes, yeah, we may have been drinking.
All right. Well, again, cut back on the alcohol. I agree with Adam. Be more structured with your sleep. Have sex before, go bed earlier, wake, you know, sleep adequately. I mean, sleep hygiene is a big part of this whole
issue.
Well,
and Matt sounded, and I know we were kind of making fun of him, but he sounded genuinely disturbed about something that is a fairly normal and not that wild, and he wasn't hurting her, and she goes along with it.
Yeah. You're a little embarrassed, and then you wake up, and then you're having sex.
And if you really are worried, you can see a neurologist or a sleep specialist, because you know, there can be seizure-type phenomenon associated with this.
Well, look, put it this way. I have trouble sleeping when there's a pie in the refrigerator. I always have trouble sleeping around Thanksgiving. If I know there's half a pumpkin pie downstairs in the fridge, I will get up at some point
and
eat it. Because I'm going to bed knowing that
if that pie were laid down right next to you,
I would definitely rape the hell out of that pie. I'd give it some
lovingly or violently?
I can do both. That's the beauty of me. I'm telling you, that tin would not be good for redemption at Marie Callender's when I was done with it.
American pie.
That sounds like the greatest morning. And waking up, sleeping, sex, and then
pie.
Get an automatic coffee maker.
He should beat one out before he goes to bed.
Yeah.
Go to bed in a pair of Levi cutoffs or something. Get her to get naked. And don't be so freaked out about it. It's every 22-year-old does this. Jimmy?
Blah, 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 blah.
Yes, we've all done this.
Oof.
No, but you guys, you know what I'm talking about? Like, there's some nights, it's true, you get home, you're tired, maybe a little drunk, you go, we should have sex, and then you think, oh, screw it, I'm tired.
Right.
You passed out, you fall asleep for 2 hours, you wake up, and now you got a new charger on your battery.
Yeah.
You're all rotted up.
Jimmy?
Yeah, hey.
What's up?
All right, since third grade, I was taking, you know, different forms of Ritalin. You know, Ritalin at first, then Dexedrine after a couple of years, then Adderall. Mm-hmm. Last year, I said, screw this, and I stopped, partially because of what you said, Drew, when you had the TV show, saying that it decreased size. And
decreased what?
Huh?
What?
How?
You said that the speed, decreases the size of your dick, right?
No, I said that methamphetamine.
Not Ritalin?
Not Ritalin.
Well, Ritalin is speed.
It's not methamphetamine, though. It might decrease the sort of the tumescence of the penis. In other words, the performance of your penis might be altered by it.
Okay, well, I stopped taking that a year ago. Can that get back to full potential of what it would have been had I not taken that?
It already is full potential.
Oh, really?
It doesn't have anything to do with that.
Hey, Drew.
How's it looking, full potential-wise?
I'm guessing not great. Jimmy?
What?
How's the penis doing?
I don't know what it would be.
Jimmy.
All right, hold on. I got to talk about Jimmy for a second. I'm gonna try to save this call by talking about something that he brought up. Ritalin is a sort of speed.
It's a stimulant. Yeah.
It affects your body that way.
Yeah.
But it's not a methamphetamine.
No, it's a related to amphetamine. Dexedrine is amphetamine. But the point is, they do nothing to the size of your penis. Nothing.
Right. Okay. And I'm guessing Jimmy does not have the world's greatest schlong if he's hanging his hat on this
one. Jimmy's got some esteem issues, and so the schlong is Jimmy.
Right. Jimmy?
Yeah. Yeah, I got some esteem issues.
Right. What's up? What's wrong?
Well, just don't have confidence in it. I don't know.
Have you had sex before?
No.
Is it because you don't feel confident?
I don't know. Is it not accurate to compare to the porno dicks? Is that not right?
That's not right.
That's probably not a good idea.
Especially at 17.
I do. It's just I will use porn as a template for my penis, but I have a 14-inch TV, and I will use I will go actual size. So I will actually hold my penis up next to the, you know, 6-millimeter penis of Ron Jeremy's and think, well, I got a bigger one than him. Now, coincidentally, my head is 8 times his size, and so is my hand, but it still makes me feel better.
You got to be happy with your rod.
Adam admitted to me once, yes, he takes a snow globe, one of those snow globes, and holds it up to his penis so he feels like the penis is threatening the village below.
Yes. And I make noise. I will crush your complex. I will, your little hobble.
Get back into your homes.
Here comes a giant penis. I position the light in such a way where it casts a shadow, creating an eclipse.
Our crops will be ruined.
That's right. Here comes the flood. All right. Jimmy, your penis is fine.
Yeah.
It's you that you got to worry about, and stop focusing on your penis.
Really?
Is there anything you're good at in life? Is there anything you like?
Comedy.
All right, you like comedy?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, I love this show, man.
Well, thanks. Well, now, do you want to do it?
The show? No.
No, I mean comedy in general.
Oh, yeah. Well, like a stage performance, yeah.
All right, why don't you get a notebook and start writing down jokes if you think they're funny. Feel free to use my snow globe routine.
Yeah.
Go hit an open mic somewhere and, join a group, an improv troupe or something.
Yeah, you can do whatever you want when you're 17.
Oh, I'm in improv, yeah.
All right. Good. Yeah. Let's keep going with that and stop worrying about your penis.
That's
going
to do a bunch for you, yeah.
You'll meet somebody there, too.
You'll meet someone in your improv group and, yeah.
That's right.
They'll have issues, and you can.
That's right. You guys can have a family with issues.
Too big.
Jesse? Jesse? Hello. Yeah, you're 21.
What's up, guys?
How's it going?
Do women ever call up with too big a vagina?
They worry that it's going to be too big
But it's never too big.
Something.
No. Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Jesse?
Yeah, here's my question. I'm getting married in 2 weeks, and my fiancé has been on birth control pill for 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as I know, her gynecologist has told her that she can control her cycle with these pills.
Right.
But it's not controlling the cycle. Like, she's starting the cycle right now.
She's not cycling. She's having mid-cycle bleeding, which was one of the side effects of the pill. She needs to talk to the doctor about it and adjust the pill.
Well, that's the problem, is we called the doctor, and they said, well, we can't really get you in before the wedding, so...
Why can't they just handle this over the phone?
I don't know. That's what I was thinking. If it's not anything serious, then why can't they just give us some info? And so I thought, hey, I'll call Loveline.
Is it a gynecologist you're saying?
Yeah.
Gynecologist.
Well, Jesse. Here's the plan, by the way.
All right.
You let her have her period. You nail her on the wedding night. Then you hang the bloody sheet out the window on the balcony railing, as tradition would have it.
Yes.
And everyone thinks you broke her hymen and she was a virgin.
Sweet, huh?
Yeah.
True. Remember, and then Michael Landon will come running home from school.
That's right. With the urine-soaked sheet, the loneliest runner. Don't think you're going to find that on other shows, by the way, people knowing
reference.
What the hell you're talking about with Michael Landon.
Hey, Jesse.
Uh-huh.
What pill is she taking?
Low estrogen.
Yeah, that's a pretty low estrogen. That's a very low estrogen.
Well, wait a minute, Drew. You said to handle it over the phone. He's on the phone now, and you're a doctor. So
I'm getting into it.
Well, hurry.
You may need a higher dose estrogen pill. She may need to switch to a different pill, and that's what she needs to call and ask about.
Plus, you might have to wear a rubber on your wedding night.
No. It's not about effectiveness. They just don't want the muss.
Oh.
If they up the dosage or whatever, are we going to have to wait for it to become effective?
No, it could be right away.
Drew, what about taking 2 pills?
No.
Oh, he thought about it.
Mussy fussy.
No, call them about getting a higher dose estrogen pill or adjusting the dose so the lining of the uterus stabilizes. That's what you're looking for.
All right.
And these days you can take these monophasic pills continuously so she never has her period. That's a sort of a new school of thought.
Look, I might be old school, but I say hang that bloody sheet out the window.
Wear the red helmet.
She could.
Unacceptable.
What the hell's that mean?
I don't know.
It scares me.
Come on.
That's what you're
doing. The red sheet after a heavy mid-cycle bleeding could look like she was bludgeoned. Not that her hymen ruptured.
The whole village will be elated when they see the virgin was deflowered on her wedding night. All right, we'll be back.
Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody, it's The Love Line. I'm Adam Carolla. He's Dr. Drew. David Alan Greer in here tomorrow night. And anyone who listens to the show with any regularity knows that will be a great show because David is actually very, very funny.
Wow!
And a nice guy. So and he's a friend. So he's a dear, dear friend. So.
That was him, your dear, dear friend.
Bill Winky Dwyer.
Hole, baby. Woo!
There we go. Bill Dwyer, one of my compadres from Comedy Central, is in here tonight.
I kind of feel like I'm being measured up against David Alan Greer.
It's tough because Dave is a dear friend. Dear, dear, dear friend. He's a dear friend. But he's a, no, you listen. Listen, Bill Dwyer is Bill Dwyer, and David Alan Greer is David Alan Greer.
Is DAG.
Right. I think that's canceled, isn't it?
Is it?
I think it is. Well, we'll just... We'll assume it's
still
canceled.
A network show.
We'll talk to you tomorrow. It's a huge success.
It's good to have a network show.
Right. And yeah. Here's the spin that David puts on it. Low ratings. Yeah. It's an interesting spin. That's a truthful spin.
Yeah. Why do you cancel? Low rating.
So, you know what I'd love?
Nobody else.
I would love to have some sort of cosmic percentage scale where we all know that 97-98% of shows that are canceled for low ratings, except for Loveline TV show. Right?
Was that doing well when they canceled it?
No.
Very well.
No,
really?
It's not. Yeah. Very well?
That was doing very well.
Who are you kidding? They don't cancel anything that's doing very well.
No, no. You don't they lost, well.
It was doing fine, I'm sure.
You guys were asking for, it must have been dough, money.
Why? Oh, it was a money thing? Okay. Well, maybe it was doing well. All right. The point is that's 95% of the time. And I'm wondering what the answer that is given 95% of the time, because it would never be low ratings. It would be politics and contracts and a-holes and stuff like that. But anyway.
They didn't give it a chance.
That's right. Bill Dwyer on here from BattleBots. Which
third
is,
season.
Now in its third season. And
that's pretty cool.
Looking better than ever. I love that show. Comedy Central, 10 o'clock, Tuesday nights. Marcos?
Yeah.
You're 25?
Yeah.
What's up?
My mom is 40, so I'm in the middle of a taboo. I love her, man. She's gorgeous.
You love your mom?
Oh, yeah. She's, man.
She's fine. I hear
great body. She's...
She's
beautiful.
She's good looking. Her foo-foo smells a little bit, I got to tell you. But we've been drinking pretty hard, so you never know. We shouldn't have rode that mechanical bull before we...
Yeah. What? Plus, I was like eighth in line.
Right. What's that, Marcos?
Her boyfriend, and I'm in love with her, man.
You in love with her?
I love to see her having sex. And
That's a damn lie, and you know it!
With her boyfriend?
With her boyfriend.
With her boyfriend, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Are you living at home, Marcos?
Oh, yeah.
Why?
Well, because we're alone. I'm supporting her.
You're supporting your mom?
Yeah.
What about her boyfriend?
So she's living with you?
She don't work.
What about her boyfriend?
Well, he doesn't live here.
Why doesn't he support her?
Well, because I'm the only one working.
What does he do?
She's not working right.
What does he do?
She used to be secretary.
The boyfriend, what does he do?
Oh, this guy is kind of like a machine shop, something like that.
He's a blacksmith.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And what do you do, Marcos?
I do machine shop, too.
Ooh.
But, I'm a saddle maker.
I guess he does that same thing, but I'm not sure. I don't know much. He's kind of new here.
Right. I sort of believe Marcos, actually.
Yeah.
You really think your mom's hot?
She is, man.
She's so beautiful.
She's hot.
Mm-hmm. So what are you calling us for?
Well, I just want to tell you that I'm in... I will hear you guys talking about taboo. And,
right.
Yeah, I'm kind of in that situation.
Right. What about your grandma or your sister? You
are they hot too?
I don't have no sisters.
No sisters?
I'm the only one here.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you Mexican?
Yeah.
And you got one kid?
Do I?
What a man. Hold on. Your mom had one
kid? I'm the only one, yeah.
Your mom's Mexican?
Yeah, she is.
What happened?
She had him when she was 15.
15? She's so hot.
All right.
She's so hot.
All right, but she doesn't... No more brothers and sisters, huh?
No, I'm the only one.
Interesting. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got a uterine inflection complicating delivery.
Right.
Yeah. It's kind of hard to me to be here and see him.
Well, then get out of there and live independently, huh?
Yes. Yeah.
I don't want to. She's so hot, man.
She's
something that I want, but I can't get into it.
Find someone who looks like
her. Well, I don't know. I mean, why don't you tell her not to, you know, just...
don't be so hot.
Sidle over to her room with a couple of wine coolers and tell her not to be so uptight.
Yeah. No, no, come on, you guys.
I don't know what to do.
I don't know if I believe him or not.
I don't.
Hold on. Marcos. Yes. Do you have a girlfriend, a wife, anything?
Yes, I do. I do have a girlfriend.
A boyfriend.
Boyfriend.
No, a girlfriend.
Boyfriend?
Not a boyfriend. Girlfriend.
Uh-huh. And is she how's she doing? Is she like her dad?
What do I mean?
I mean... Okay, look.
I don't have a dad.
You don't have any. I know you killed him when you were in eighth grade.
No.
You don't have any kids, do you?
He let us when I was just a little kid.
Do you have any kids yourself?
Yeah. No, he let us.
Okay.
I don't know nothing about him.
Okay, Marcos, let me give you some good advice. Do not get your girlfriend pregnant, and if you do have sex with your mom, pull out with her, too, because I can't quite figure out Marcos. There was a...
There's no question.
No question. No. Bob,
needed to get that off his chest.
I'm sure a disturbed call. I'm sure a disturbed person.
Yeah.
Probably a bogus call. I think the thing that tipped it was the single child Mexican family. And that does not exist. That has never existed.
I'm an astronomer.
Sam, 17.
Hi, Adam, Dr. Drew.
Yes, and Bill Dwyer.
What's up, Sam?
All right, well, first of all, I just want to say... Adam, your idea of killing the 1% of guys who take the 99% of women is an excellent idea.
Thank you.
Hey, Sam, you got about 20 seconds here, unfortunately. What's up?
Well, I have a big problem. It's going to take longer than that. So
let me say...
We'll call you back tomorrow.
No, we can't. 6'4", 215, right?
Yeah, and I used to be 240.
Yes.
1 year ago.
And you think you're bulimic?
No, I am bulimic. I've been throwing up for like the last 3 months.
You've been treated?
Have I what?
Been treated?
Yeah, well, I was caught like a month ago and I stopped for a while.
Have you been treated?
No, I have not been treated, just like therapy and... But, I mean, I haven't been treated because I've started doing it again.
You need to be treated for an eating disorder.
Yeah, I don't mean successfully treated. I mean, are you in treatment?
Yeah, I am right now.
Okay, all right.
For your eating disorder?
Yeah.
All right, okay.
What's your question?
Well, last Friday, because usually I throw up after, like, big meals lately. You know, I used to do it twice a day, and now I do it less.
Right.
And I threw up, and their blood came out when I threw up.
Well, you can either get a gastritis from all that vomiting, or you can tear the esophagus, something called a Mallory-Weiss tear. The problem with those tears is the bleeding can be brisk for them, and you can actually bleed to death in a few minutes. So it's something that you need to talk to a doctor about.
Okay. Good luck, Sam.
Hello, this is your radio. Loveline will be right back.
So your Sunday's going.
All right, everybody. That is it with the Loveline. David Alan Greer in here tomorrow night. Bill Dwyer, wonderful job.
Thank you, gentlemen. It's been an eye-opener.
Bad Ronald, everybody.
Bad Ronald. You can't find it anywhere.
I'm going to build a battle bot and name it Bad Ronald.
Oh, you should. Excellent.
That is awesome.
The shop at the party
Killdozer.
House.
Killdozer.
No, bad. Killdozer good, but a band already named themselves Killdozer, so Bad Ronald. BattleBots, Tuesday nights on the flagship station, which is Comedy Central, 10 o'clock. Everybody catch Bill there. And until next time, it's Adam Kroll for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.
I don't know. Is it not accurate to compare... to the porno dicks?
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.